Oak and Riley in the Morning here on The Current. My name is Brian Oak, and I am fortunate enough right now to be back in the bowels of U.S. Bank Stadium, downtown Minneapolis. Tonight, the 30th anniversary tour of the Joshua Tree Tour. U2 in town to perform their landmark album in its entirety, lots of other songs. And sometimes when you go to a show this big, the opening act, well, rarely are they a headliner in their own right, but we definitely have that case tonight, and I'm very fortunate to be joined by Beck. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, we're having a good time on this tour, and it's been incredible. The audience is very generous, and being with the band, you know, it's a good group of people here.
All the interactions I've ever had with you two or anyone in their camp, they're all kind and gracious and warm and inviting.
Yeah. And it works its way all the way down, you know?
Right.
So you feel it, you know, when you're on the tour.
Very good. How long have you been out with you two right now?
This is the third show, so we've been out for about a week.
Well, you, as I mentioned, you know, not trying to stroke your ego, but you're a headliner in your own right. You've had lots of success, and you know, being an opening act, is there anything you have to adjust with your musical set or your personal mindset when it comes to sort of opening the show?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. On this tour, I was wondering that myself, you know, how's this going to work? Or are there certain songs we shouldn't play or should? And we've just been doing our normal show, and the audience has been so kind and, you know, effusive. So it seems like, you know, anything goes, really.
Don't tweak anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be fixed.
I mean, I have opened for people before where the fans didn't know, you know, who I was. And
in recent years?
No, I mean, just over the years, you know. So I've been in that position, and, you know, that's part of the deal, you know. But it hasn't been the case on this tour.
You know? Very good. Well, you were in town just a few weeks ago performing in St. Paul over at the Palace Theater, which they refurbished that after decades of promising to do it. It's become this amazing new venue in St. Paul, which really needed a shot in the arm. And I kept watching people share pictures and share their video. And I've seen you numerous times over the years. And, you know, you are an artist. So every once in a while, you follow a different lane, follow a different muse. I, for one, am very excited that dancing and having a very good time and showman Beck is back. Is that what it feels like right now?
Yeah, that's the way it's been, I'd say, the last 5 or 6 years, you know.
Very good. Well, let's talk about the new record then. Colors, I mean, we got that first single well over a year ago. And then slowly here and there, and then just boom, boom, in the last couple of weeks, two more songs, including Up All Night, and that video for Up All Night. The song is fantastic. When it comes to a video like that, does someone offer you the treatment? Do you have people that do that? I mean, do you get to have a say in how a video works out for a song?
Well, we reach out to people and see who's available. And, you know, Canada, who directed the video, was at the top of our list. Anybody who likes the videos of, say, Spike Jonze and Michel Gondry and that whole kind of approach to videos, very creative.
That's little dreamy, a little non sequitur.
Yeah, Canada are carrying that on, you know, the very creative, striking, cinematic, you know. And they don't do that many videos, so I felt lucky to get them to work on this song.
Well, it's a great video, and the music we've heard so far is excellent. Now, that being said, you decided to work with Greg Kurstin on this. You know, a lot of people, if you go back far enough, he is the bee in the bird and the bee, but obviously in the last 10 years, he's worked with everybody, Foo Fighters and Adele and so many names. Was he your first choice, or how did you get to know Greg?
Well, Greg, we toured together for years. He was, for a while, he played in my band for a few years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we go way back. We've lived and traveled and swam the Mediterranean together, and we've traversed the continents. And so we talked over the years working together, and we started this about 5 years ago. And
well, I was going to say, like, when you were accepting the Grammy Award for Album of the Year for Morning Phase, at least if rumors are to be believed, like, this was already in the can. Like, I mean, this record's been ready to go for a while. Is that true?
Yeah, an early version of it was. And it was supposed to come out a year after Morning Phase. And then the Morning Phase record, it just kept growing. And the audience, you know, more and people were finding it. So we just kept putting the record off. And after a while, we just started to listen to it and live with it and start to change things and try to deepen the record a little bit.
That's a slippery slope, though, I have to imagine, like, as a creative person. Yeah. Like, you make something, and you're like, I've got this, this is it, this is the thing I'm going to do. But then if you're able to kind of sit there and go back to it, how do you know when to say when? How do you stop?
Well, you could just go forever, honestly. I mean, these days, technology allows infinite versions of anything. You know, you can just, you know, do 100 mixes of a song, you know. So, you know, with every record, there's a version of it in your head that you're trying to get to materialize in the real world. And so I was just trying to get it as close to what that thing was, you know, the way you hear it in your head.
It's a moving target, I know, especially over the course of years. You seem to have, over the years, you know, I remember when I first started doing this for a living, Loser had just landed, so I've followed you closely, and I'm a huge fan, and one of the most impressive aspects of your career to me is that you've crafted out a relatively unique place in the popular musical firmament, in that you are somehow allowed to pursue your muse wherever it might be at that moment. You're allowed to be an artist, and there's a consistent quality to what you do, and the fans have followed you no matter where you've gone, and that's not universal. That's not a given. I mean, it's kind of amazing. You're in a position where you can kind of do whatever you feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very lucky. People have indulged me. You know, there is a little bit of danger in trying things. You might fall on your face or something might not quite come together. But I am a believer in that it's part of a process, and if I can help it, I try to weed out as many of those failed experiments before I make anybody hear it. You know, that's part of why this album took so long, was just trying to get all my bad lyrics and melodies that didn't work out of the way and try to get to the heart of the matter.
Well, I mean, you're trusting your gut so far has obviously been the way to go, because no one's ever said that I've ever heard, like, oh, man, that latest Beck record, that is a bomb. Like, I mean, so you take the amount of time you need, and no matter what direction you've gone, people seem to enjoy it. We're talking to Beck right now, backstage, U2's Joshua Tree Tour. This is the third night you're doing this. Growing up, did you listen to U2?
Oh, yeah. I grew up with U2. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I remember hearing stories about their shows. I must have been young, you know, I must have been 11 years old or something, when they were just playing small local clubs. And there was a story of a legendary show they did at the Hollywood Palladium. And it's funny, before I heard their music, I had heard that they were an incredible live band. That just was sort of the word among kids. And, you know, I just watched them grow into the band they've become. And they're just one of those bands we all grew up with, and there's so many great songs they've done, and so it's very, it's humbling to stand in the audience and share the stage with them to sort of see how far you can take this idea of music, you know.
It becomes part of the social fabric. I remember at a show that I watched where they did I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, and they built it up to this deafening crescendo and then stopped, and people wouldn't stop singing, and there were people with tears streaming down their face. I mean, that's more than a rock show, man. It's amazing.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So you kind of, it gives you perspective, you know. I've been lucky to tour with the Stones and the Police and Neil Young, Bob Dylan, and those are, I think that's important for an artist coming up to see that level of, you know, it's like, this is real music.
Exactly. You know? Well, we're getting the sign here. Before we wrap up, though, I do want to ask, so you, through most of the rest of this month, are on the road with U2. Can we expect a full-blown solo tour in support of the new record once it lands?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we're touring, and we just, you know, I haven't really stopped touring in years. We just keep going, you know, whether there's an album or not.
We've been lucky enough to have you twice in 3 weeks, so don't stay away too long, all right?
I know. I know it'd been almost 10 years or something like that.
It had been a long time, so if we could make it less than that, between now and the next time you stop by, that would be
absolutely
great.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, thank you for the time.
All right, good to talk to you.
All right, talking to Beck backstage prior to him opening up for U2. It is the Joshua Tree 30th Anniversary Tour. You are in tune to Oak and Riley in the Morning on The Current.